You're listening to the Children's Hour. I'm Katie Stone. Over the break, that was Jazz Jamaica with their version of The Peanut Vendor from their CD called Ska Raven. As we're learning about Jimmy Carter, you can learn more and see pictures and links at childrenshour.org. Look for this episode, Jimmy Carter. Our summer intern, Addie, has a lot more to teach us about the life of Jimmy Carter. Where we left it, he had to leave the military and come back to Plains, Georgia to run the family peanut farm after his father passed away.
Remember when we talked about segregation? After Jimmy moved back to rural Georgia, this was a big problem. The Supreme Court had just handed down its Brown versus Board of Education decision in 1954, which allowed black children to go to the same school as white children. This didn't go over well with most Georgians. However, because of his experience with the black kids in archery and what he saw as he traveled around the world in the Navy, Jimmy was all for racial tolerance. This got him in a lot of trouble. The local chapter of the White Citizens Council boycotted Carter's peanuts for a while, but this didn't stop him. Even though the 1954 Supreme Court decision made segregation illegal, it was still practiced in Georgia. When a state Senate seat opened up in 1962, he decided to run. At first, everyone thought he lost the election, but Jimmy proved that his opponent had won illegally. A new election was held, and he won. He was a hard worker and did something that I think is pretty cool, which was a speed reading course so that he could keep up with what he had to do. He was so well-liked as a state senator that he was re-elected in 1964. On the last day of his term as state senator, he announced his plan to run for the U.S. Congress. His main opponent was a guy named Beau Calloway. Jimmy thought that Calloway represented selfishness in politics, something he hated. Eventually, Beau decided to drop out of the congressional race and run for governor of Georgia. This caused Jimmy to do the same thing, since he really didn't like Calloway and didn't want to see him win. There were others running for governor in 1966, not just Calloway and Jimmy. The votes were split so much that he didn't win. He did force a runoff election, though. This resulted in the election of Lester Maddox, a man that was a segregationist. Jimmy hated the thought that he had lost to someone like Maddox. After the election, he went home to Plains to work on his peanut farm and plan for the next election for governor. He ran for governor in 1970. He worked to get both the white and black vote. He didn't do too well with the black vote, though. He only got 7% of it, and he didn't win enough votes for an outright win, which led to another runoff election, and this time Jimmy won, becoming Georgia's 76th governor. Two important things he pushed while he was governor were racial equality and education. In his inaugural speech, he said, "The time for racial discrimination is over," something that would later cause the Ku Klux Klan to march against him. He appointed many black people to state offices through the time he was governor and established a Georgia Civil Rights Council that would work on racial issues. But while he was doing all of this, he was also thinking about something else: becoming president of the United States.
Heard a young man speaking out just the other day. I stopped just to listen to what he had to say. He spoke straight and simple, by that I was impressed. He said, "Once and for all, why not the best?" Said his name was Jimmy Carter and he was running for president, and it laid out a plan of action, made a lot of sense. He talked about the government and how it used to be for you and me. That's the way it ought to be. Right now, once and for all, why not the best? He spoke plain and simple, and I began to understand. I was listening to quite a man talking to me. I began to see. We need Jimmy Carter. Why settle for less, America? Once and for all, why not the best? We need Jimmy Carter. We can't afford to settle for less, America. Once and for all, why not the best? Why not the best? Why not the best?
From way down yonder in the peanut land comes Brother Carter with his goober plan. Wants to make himself head goober for the next 4 years. Got a goober plan to erase all of our fears. Well, some folks say the goober plan's a joke. The press even says it makes them choke. But down in Georgia, in his own home state, the goobers know what he has done, and they all think he's great.
Goober, goober, vote for the goober man.
Let him wear the pants, give him the chance to show the goober plan. The goober man is making it perfectly clear. He wants to be elected in November of this year. So vote for the man with a goober plan. He'll solve our frets and woes all the way from Cuba to the ghettos. His plan will help us keep our hard-earned cash. And who knows, we might be driving our cars on goober gas. So plan a peanut smile upon your face. And America, let's all join in the goober race.
Goober, goober, vote for the goober man.
Let him wear the pants, give him the chance to show the goober plan. The White House just ain't been the same since they got rid of Tricky Dick, yeah, and oh, what's his name? But come Inauguration Day in 77, Washington's gonna be a goober heaven.
Goober, goober, vote for the goober man.
Let him wear the pants, give him the chance to show the goober plan.
Two presidential campaign songs in a row for Jimmy Carter's 1976 presidential campaign. The first one you heard was done by Oscar Brand. It was the official campaign song called Jimmy Carter, Why Not the Best? That's from his presidential campaign songs. And then you heard The Goober Man, which was written in 1976 by Alvis Howard and J.B. Frederick, and it was performed here by Craig Moore. The word goober means peanut, but it's also an old slang word for someone from Georgia, where Jimmy Carter is from. Today, we're learning about Jimmy Carter with our summer intern, Addie, and she has a lot more to teach us.
Jimmy had already put together a presidential campaign staff in 1972. While he was the governor, he also got himself appointed to several national Democratic committees. This helped him to come up with both ideas he could use in a national campaign and the recognition he would need when he ran. He ran in the bicentennial year of 1976 against the person who was president, Gerald R. Ford, the person who took over for Richard Nixon when Nixon resigned. At the time, there was still a lot of racial tension. The economy wasn't doing too well, and there were big problems in the Middle East. During the election, he chose Walter Mondale from Minnesota as his vice president. He debated Gerald Ford 3 times, and when the votes were counted, he won both the popular and the electoral votes. One of the first things that he did was to issue an executive order declaring amnesty for anyone who had evaded the draft during the Vietnam War. This allowed many who had gone to Canada to evade the draft to come home. and he was very interested in energy conservation. He was the first president to install solar panels onto the White House. He encouraged people to lower their household temperatures and wear sweaters, something he did in the White House. This was also a hectic time during world history. The Soviet Union, what is now Russia, invaded Afghanistan during the Carter presidency. Jimmy led the world in trying to boycott the 1980 Moscow Olympics. Because of the invasion, relations between the U.S. and the Soviet Union got worse. In spite of this, Jimmy worked to make the world a safer place by negotiating and signing a deal known as SALT II, or the Strategic Arms Limitations Talk, which worked to limit the amount of nuclear weapons that each country had. But there were other areas of the world that needed attention also. The United States supported the Shah of Iran, but the Iranian people didn't. There was a movement in Iran to overthrow the Shah, which they finally did in 1979. Because the U.S. supported the Shah, Iranian students invaded and took over the U.S. embassy in the Iranian capital. They captured 52 embassy employees and held them hostage. Jimmy tried to rescue them in a military operation called Operation Eagle Claw. This effort failed, resulting in the deaths of 8 soldiers and the destruction of 2 airplanes. The hostages were held for 444 days. This was a major cause of Jimmy's defeat in the 1980 election. When he decided to run again, it went poorly for him. He ran against the governor of California, Ronald Reagan, and he lost big time. Ronald Reagan got 489 electoral votes, and Jimmy only got 49. It was the second biggest upset in U.S. history, and that was the end of Jimmy's presidency. But he still had a lot of work to do.
We'll find out what's next for President Jimmy Carter, but first, in his own words, this is Brian Ruth with his single for Jimmy Carter, right here on the Children's Hour.
Self-indulgence and consumption. Human identity is no longer defined by what one does, but by what one owns. But we've discovered that owning things and consuming things does not satisfy our longing for meaning. We've learned that piling up material goods cannot fill the emptiness of lives which have no confidence or purpose.
Of well-financed and powerful special interests.
throat lies a mistaken idea of freedom. The path that leads to fragmentation and self-interest. The right to grasp for ourselves some advantage over others. Be one of constant conflict between narrow interest, ending in chaos and immobility. It is a certain route to failure. In little more than two decades, we've gone from a position of energy independence to one in which almost half the oil we use comes from foreign countries. We've learned that piling up material goods cannot fill the emptiness of lives which have no confidence or purpose. Our excessive dependence on OPEC has already taken a tremendous toll on our economy and our people. It's a cause of the increased inflation and unemployment that we now face. This intolerable dependence on foreign oil threatens our economic independence and the very security of our nation. The energy crisis is real. It is worldwide.
Says yes, Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes, Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be decent and open? As the 39th president, he has spoken yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Your president, I, Jimmy Carter, know it is possible to run a government efficiently and without sin or any corruption. I will do my level best to run the government decently without any statement of eruption. Errors and wrongdoings I will reveal to the public. For corruption while I'm in office, I'll not barter. I'll stand tall like Old Glory, faithful to the Republic. Security will prevail, as sure as I am the President. President Jimmy Carter. Can a government be competent? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can a government be honest? Jimmy Carter says yes. Jimmy Carter says yes. Can our government be decent and open? As the 39th president, he has spoken, yes. Jimmy Carter says yes.
You're listening to the Children's Hour, Kids Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks to the Outpost Performance Space in Albuquerque, New Mexico, for hosting the Children's Hour. Support for the Children's Hour is provided by United Way of North Central New Mexico. Support provided by the City of Albuquerque and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. Support for the Children's Hour provided by the County of Bernalillo, New Mexico. Many thanks to the users at tokenibis.org, who direct funds to the Children's Hour every week. Keep up with the Children's Hour and subscribe to our monthly newsletter at childrenshour.org.